Praise God. We're going to be touching on the discipleship pathways. And I'm going to share just one aspect of the discipleship pathways. But of last week, we touched on the keys to discipleship. Today, we're going to look at probably pathways. Not probably, definitely pathways to discipleship. But we'll just touch on one element of that. But before I come, I've got a... I'm going to invite a man of God to come up here, someone who carries a fire in prayer, in intercessory prayer, someone who's going to be coming along with me to Africa in a few weeks from now, and he's going to come and take a few minutes, and he's going to preach up a storm. Am I right, my friend? Come on, come up here. I'm going to invite Angok to come up. Let's encourage him this morning.
Thank you.
As he
thank you.
Takes an opportunity to really share with us what God's placed on his heart.
Oh, thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Hello, KC City Church. God is good.
Amen. All the time.
And all the time. That is good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, I got a quick story first to share before I share what the Lord has in my heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Moses asked me to go spy out the land of Nilotic and bring back the report to him. And he said, in the 2 week time, can you share something in a profess? And I said, okay. And then yesterday he changed his mind. And he called me back and he said, can you do it tomorrow? And I said, Lord, I'm not sure I'm following right Moses here, because Moses said the Lord doesn't change his mind, but my but the mind won't change his mind. You know? It does change his mind. So to share this, I just want to give an encouragement on the character and the discipline of someone called Joshua, whom you probably even know of. So let's look at the book of Numbers 27. Numbers 27 from verses 11. Yeah. From verses 11, he said, and now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness, during the strife of the congregation, you rebel against my command to hallow me at the water before the eyes. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like a sheep who have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the spirit. Lay your hand on him and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by judgment of the Urim. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him in all the congregation. Now, you know, I will start first with Joshua, he was a helper to Moses. He was a commander that go out also to fight for God's people at the command of Moses. And it was one of the spies as well that who came back and hardly obeyed the Lord. He did not walk away from left and right. But God is a God. God, our Lord, is a loving and a caring God, but it's also obedient. Is a God that who dwell in obedience. And though Moses have walked with him, he's disobedient. Let him see the land, but did not put his hand on it. And that is one clear distinction I want to say, like in terms of following the Lord our God. Looking at this, there were three things I learned about Joshua, that why God would choose Joshua to be the one to actually follow him.
Mm.
You have to be someone who is willing to serve, willing to obey, willing to be poured into.
Amen.
And have someone alongside you in order to be someone who can live the will of God. Joshua left the will of God in his life because not because he was any different from other people with him, but he was obedient to the Lord. And in Israel, that shows when they came back, out of the 12, him and Caleb were the only two who brought back the good, who brought back the report of faith that believe wholeheartedly that the Lord have given this land to us, we will go into it. So there were four things I really learned from Joshua. Joshua's willingness to self-sacrifice in him to be a servant to Moses and obey Moses wholeheartedly. And that's one of the qualities of a discipleship that we see in his story. Another quality we see in his story is obedient. Is obedient to follow the law and obey the law of God. And it wasn't easy. You've seen many times God said to him, Joshua, do not be dismayed or be discouraged. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you. So it's a willing to heart to obey and to do it. It's not about perfecting to follow it. It's that willing heart to follow it.
Amen.
There's another quality I see in him is quality of faithfulness. And we see how he equally obeyed to divide the land among Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing you learn when you become a disciple, that it's not a work of easiness, but it's a work also you learn how to be a friend with God, which is the fourth quality I see in him, that Joshua was a friend of God. That's why he trust God wholeheartedly, that he said to the Lord, he said to Israel, that you can do what you want, but as for me and my family, we will obey the Lord.
Amen.
That you cannot say it because it was easy. Joshua fought battle in all his life. It wasn't a lack of struggle. But in the toughness, he shows God. And he knew his God was a good, good God.
Amen.
He knew the Lord was peaceful.
Yeah.
He knew there was no other place he could rather be than to be in the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
You know, another person who followed him, the only person who left Egypt at 40 and made to the land was Caleb.
Right.
And Caleb, his faithfulness made him step the land as the only older man. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we're faithful to God, to follow God, God blesses not just on him. Caleb is the grandfather of David, of Solomon, and to Jesus today. So our obedience can follow our bloodline. And when we see it in the book of Chronicles and King, it said when a king followed God, it said they follow God as they follow as their grandfather David walked with God.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you want to be that to be you? To follow someone? Anyway, I think I'm taking my African time. So African time. So I want to just highlight a few things. I want to say, look, right now we have the same opportunity as we sell our building and look forward to the next place.
Amen.
How the fruit of our faithfulness and the fruit of our obedience will come in handily. Yeah.
Wow. That's
do we believe God for the going through a place of unknown? And believe in a hope and a future that we have not seen yet, that the Lord will take us there.
Mm.
Yeah.
That we will believe.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. So, as Pastor mentioned earlier, that we'll be going to Sudan in April. And I want to share that and Uganda. and you're gonna seriously, this have come as prophetic as you may not seen. When they were in America, when Pastor Larry and Pastor Christopher were in America, one of my mentors, Pastor Suzanne, gave me a word that I will go to Sudan this year, in April. I have no plan. I thought I would go one day, but I have no plan. And he came back and he asked me, and that really shifted my hope. I begin to pray about what God is going to do in our country. And can I share something? Like yesterday, last night, from a man from Sudan who wanted to invite us to have a prayer at his house with someone. This man, his grandson, played for Hassa. And he is the he lead the parliamentary commission in Sudan, I mean South Sudan government, on petroleum and mineral resources. And he said, I want you to come. I have heard that you guys are coming, and I've heard the same pastor that helped you guys launch South Sudan Academic Society that is now uniting South Sudanese in Australia. We want the same thing in Sudan. Our country have suffered through bloodshed and through fight, and I'm going to have the vice president and the speaker of the house in my house for you and the pastor to come and pray for them. We are taking peace to a land that have known war for all their life. Sudan has all been in war. Since 1800, 200 years in war. And your support to take this mission to these people could end it. So there was an email went out the other day. And whatever way we're doing in Uganda and in these places is to help pay for the pastors. It's not like here we just jump on a train and $5. There is a days you have to plan to come to the city. And we're getting these pastors across the country to come in to this conference. And if you can support with the accommodation, so whatever you have, just bring it in and we'll go very far. In Jesus' name.